You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hello there. Hello there. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Christopher DeSimone. That's even better. I was just reading Matt's headline news about Green Valley News. The guy who's going to provide the review on FEMA funds is Joe Cafari.
Is it the same? It's not the same. It's not. The Homeland Security Inspector General? Can't be the same person.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, no, when I first saw the story.
Is his dad the same name? I got to look that up. That's pretty good. Is the big guy here? Let's go to the phones. Let's go to our good friend, coffee fiend, U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. David, good morning.
Are you technically a fiend if it's just coffee?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I just wasn't sure how the definite. I love it when you have these people sending you emails and then they have to tell me their pronouns. And I'm trying to figure out, is coffee drinker now one of my pronouns?
Yes.
now, so maybe I need to back off the fiend because I'm looking at the actual definition from we always go to the Oxford Dictionary for English word definitions. So it could be a evil spirit or demon.
Well, you know, at some level, this much caffeine. Oh.
Now, David, before we get going, we want to play a soundbite from the DNC from you. Are you ready?
Why do you want to do that to your poor listener?
Because we played it for him last segment.
Don't you engage in enough cruelty as it is?
This one's gold. So, you know, they got to break up all their caucuses by race and sexual preference and all that good stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So at the Black Caucus yesterday, I don't know if you heard this line or not, but the man at the podium said the quiet part out loud. Matt Neely.
We got 70 days to act right, y'all.
That's right.
Now after 70 days, we can go back down crazy. Right?
There it is. We have 70 days to act right. After 70, we can go back acting crazy.
But you got to give them credit. Now look, I need you to sort of step out of your body for a moment.
Again.
The political professionalism of the left, an understanding, hey, there's only 4 to 7% of America that's persuadable right now. You know, you have a come as you are country. You know, anyone that's listening to you right now, you already know how you're voting, you know, because you're sort of educated in politics. But there's this small population that's going to tune in about 6 weeks and barely tune in, somewhere in between their Netflix consumption.
Correct.
And that's the audience who decides this next election.
Yeah.
And that's one of our biggest problems I have with my Republican brothers and sisters is they want to have another meeting with themselves. They want to have another, you know, get together, a coffee, you know, let's meet at the bar. And they talk to themselves and not understanding the server at the restaurant or this is actually the persuadable voter. That's who you're talking to. You're not talking to each other. And the fact that they understand that the extremism of the Democrat groups, the code pinks, the this and that, are so extreme, they have the discipline to say, we care so much more about winning, we will actually sort of go underground for the next 3 months and win the election.
Just to show you, there's some activism going down in Pima County. This is a brand new way of, I've never heard of this before. On September 7th, let's see, what time is this at? It's at 9 a.m. They're doing the vehicle caravan for the Republican Party. So.
Please. Look, I mean this with a certain level of love.
Remember David said to be nice to him today, and then I make this poor bastard go through this.
I lived this example about like 4 years ago. And I got to admit, we were caught up into it because, you know, my wife said, let's take our little girl and let's go. You know, we have a bunch of our friends at the intersection. They're going to wave flags as traffic's going by. I said, okay, we keep getting invites. Let's go do it. Let's join them. And the great irony, when we were there, you know, people standing on the corner waving flags for an hour, the neighborhood right behind us as we were leaving, there was just a handful of Democrat activists walking door to door with their literature. Who moved more voters? People standing in the corner waving flags are people who are at the doors of persuadable voters.
I would go with option B, David Schweikert.
Yep. But same time commitment, same much less organizational commitment, but it's our problem is we want reaffirmation of what we feel and believe, so we want to hang out with people that feel and believe like we do. That's right. Normal. It's human.
Yep.
But that's not how you win elections. You got to show up in the places that are really uncomfortable. Come walk door to door with me. I have one precinct that in the last election was like touching 80% Democrat vote. And it's fairly wealthy. It's, you know, they're nice houses. And go walk door to door with me there. And, you know, I just have to move just a few percent, just a few households in a precinct like that to make a huge difference. But you will get almost no one that will come with you.
So people are listening right now, and they said, Dave, I want to knock doors right now. And forget about worrying about the party and all that other jazz. Give me the David Schweikert efficient guide to knocking on doors.
For a stalwart, you know, Republican on your list that votes all the time, just leave a piece of literature there. They're voting, and they're voting for you. If it's a hardcore Democrat, skip it. You want them to forget there's an election. Don't turn out your opposition.
That's true.
Okay. Well, it's a sequitur. A few years ago, old family friend, one of the most wonderful little Italian women in one of our precincts. She loves my family. She's just the warmth, and she made it her commitment that she was going to talk to every voter in her precinct. And we kept begging her, "Don't do that, please." Highest Democrat turnout in that precinct in history because she knocked on all their doors.
Right.
She had the belief she could change people's hearts and minds. This isn't about changing hearts and minds. This is about just finding that last incremental bit of turnout of a persuadable and getting that person to the door.
All right.
Use the offer to try to go talk to your Democrat neighbors.
Gotcha. So, if you're knocking on doors now, leave a brochure, literature for the Republican. Ignore the hardcore Democrat.
For the stalwart Republican, if they're soft Republican or independent, knock on the door. Talk to them.
So how would you describe a soft Republican if I was someone knocking on doors?
We use a certain data set that gets a little more sophisticated than most. But the RNC's actually is not bad. They do it more by voter turnout. We actually even overlay things like, do they subscribe to, you know, off-road trucks or organic gardening? You know, we even have overlays of trying to identify sort of where they are attitudinally. But there's also other classic things. If you're walking up to someone's door and you see an NRA sticker in the window or a rainbow flag or an NRA sticker, it tells you a little bit about the house.
Yeah.
And the number one rule, my absolute number one rule when you're out in a grocery store or knocking doors, don't talk about what you care about. Try to find out what they care about.
I'm telling you, this is what people right now stop doing Trump train caravans and do what David's telling you to do. This is how you're going to make a difference in your neighborhood. So you can go to the party and get the help. Hopefully you can get help with an app for your phone to let you know who's a Republican, who's a Democrat, and this kind of data. I don't know if they'll even provide you the list. I don't know where they're at on their sophistication. Hopefully they can, but all I'm telling you is this is, if you want to turn, don't go do the caravan. Go knock on doors. So.
And look, there's some good data out there that will even show you. There's folks that think, oh, if I put up lots of signs. My two top Democrat opponents, so they had a six-way primary on the Democrat side. The two that came in number one and number two were the two people that put up no street signs because they took those dollars and used it to go into neighborhoods. Yard signs are very powerful because they're in front of someone's yard. They tell the neighbors that this vote, this person, this household has a relationship to this candidate. But sticking a sign out in the street, when you drove to work today, you know, how many real estate signs did you see? How many garage sale signs? I mean, for the person that's not fixated on politics like we are, we see them, we count them, we grade them. But those small number of persuadable voters, they're trying to avoid politics.
I know.
The running joke we have is, what's the real reason we do street signs?
Name ID.
Oh, absolutely not. It's to convince people that think they know everything about politics that we're taking the race seriously.
Well, you don't think just even name ID, Schweiger, just so the name gets drilled in their head?
No, I don't think it really raises name ID that much. Now, look, if you're running for school board or something like that, where you're not going to have the money to be on their television or in their mailbox, absolutely, because that's all you can afford to do. But a lot of it is, I have contributors that I love them, but they start sending a check when they start seeing the street sign, you know, on the road they go to work on, because all of a sudden, well, he's taking the campaign seriously, not understanding that it's the human contact, it's the thing in the mailbox, it's actually talking about what that voter cares about that moves a vote. It's not just how many of you decide who you're going to vote for because there's a sign on the street?
I don't decide. I just like drilling the name in people's brains that they recognize it. I think that's, I understand what you're saying.
I'm a little more cynical.
I'm shocked. Hey, when we come back, we're going to play you another soundbite, two in a row. This one is of the Commerce Secretary at the DNC. You probably heard this one, but we're going to play it
now. Oh, goody.
Torturing our good friend David Schweiker today on Wake Up Tucson. Tom Moulton's coming up at the Jump in Tucson with Chris Dodge from the Tucson Jazz Festival. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. We're doing Van Halen v. Van Halen. Thanks to Brushfire for the curating of the list. You're on Wake Up Tucson. All right, 7:23 in the morning. Welcome back to our good friend, U.S. Congressman David Schweiker. David, thank you for holding on. I appreciate it, sir.
You know, the beautiful thing is your commercial breaks are just long enough to do another triple draw.
Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. David, before we play you this clip and torture you one more time, in less than 60 seconds, tell us about the revision of the job numbers from first quarter.
Okay. First, this is actually something you and I have talked about. Repeatedly, we're having major revisions on employment, unemployment, labor force participation. Yesterday, they went back and looked at last year, and 818,000 of non-farm payroll jobs that had been reported did not exist. But understand, it's much worse than that.
Oh, no.
Because almost every month had also been revised downward. And so what we're trying to figure out, first, just from an academic standpoint, what's gone wrong in the Bureau of Labor Statistics modeling? Since COVID, the models we were using before COVID aren't working today. The way we do certain sampling, the number of people who started their own little businesses or dropped out of the labor. So what we're trying to figure out, and the joint economic economists are working on this, if you just lost another 800,000 jobs we thought were there that aren't there, plus all the other revisions, should we start to see some recalculations on what U.S. labor force participation is, what unemployment actually is, but also what the size of the economy, the growth of the economy, the GDP. And those numbers we expect in the next week or two, because all of them are sort of, I'm going to use the word derivative, of how many people are in the labor force and working.
Well, thank God they were interviewing, ABC News was interviewing Gina Raimondo, the Commerce Secretary, and the lady from ABC News asked her a question about this. Let's hear from the our wonderful Commerce Secretary. Hold on, Matt's getting there. Here we go.
Do you potentially think that this new numbers could be a liability for this campaign?
No. When I hear that, first of all, I don't believe it because I've never heard Donald Trump say anything truthful.
It is, though, from the Bureau of Labor.
I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, you know, I've never met the Biden's Commerce Secretary.
Hold it. You're on Ways and Means and you've never met the Commerce Secretary?
It's more than that. Remember, I'm the Republican side. Remember, the Joint Economic Committee is a bicameral type. So, and you know, I mean, you know, even Janet Yellen comes by and visits me. That's when, and I think after that comment, let me guess, she actually doesn't know a lot about commerce.
You know, my mission's accomplished today with David because I got him to go. Twice, right? One about the Trump caravan and then Gina Raimondo.
Well, and look, let's go back to the Trump caravan for one second. I love the passion. And look, I have some wonderful supporters who are never going to be able to walk door to door. That's just, they're physically not there.
Yep.
But could they sit and respond to texts for me?
Yep.
Could they address some handwritten notes? Things like that. There's ways where we can talk to the voters we need. Remember, the audience that decides this election is tiny. Find them and love on them.
Amen. Hey, real quick, before we got about a minute or so, the RFK Jr. thing, if he somehow, what's the effect of him, what that you think, if he drops out of the race and throws his hat towards the Trumpster? What's the effect here?
There's already, and I need to actually really read into the article because I only got like three paragraphs and then I'm talking to you. Pollster trying to figure out, saying, okay, in some markets he's getting 7% and with 12%, believing the bias of if he pulls himself off the ballot, that Donald Trump actually gets more of that. It could be helpful, but it's going to be in a fairly small percentage.
Gotcha.
Yeah, what you often find is third-party candidates, as people finally get to the end and ready to vote, they move away from the third-party candidate because they want to actually influence the actual election. So that's often baked into the calculations.
All right, my friend. Thanks for a good time and good information as always, sir.
All right. It's always fun.
Have a great day.
I know.
U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. We're going to play Scott Jennings from the DNC. I don't know how CNN keeps bringing this guy back. Too many truth bombs falling out of his pie hole. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk. All right. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, where we are educating through ridicule and joy. That's what we're doing here.
It's all about the joy, Chris. Good advice from Congressman Schweikert about ask them about them. Don't tell them about you.
Correct.
You probably learned that in, you know, some of your career travails through life.
Absolutely. And this is, you know, when you look at some of the politicians, some of them that didn't make it through the primary, they always love to talk about themselves.
Yeah.
Right? We talk about that lack of humility.
Yep.
That's where you're at. Scott Jennings, I just want to describe this guy for a sec. He is an on-air contributor for CNN. He writes for USA Today, LA Times. He's a native of Dawson Springs, Kentucky. Coca-Cola National Scholar. He was a news anchor. G.W. Bush appointed Jennings for a position of special assistant to the president and deputy director of political affairs. So that means he's a... hold on, let's go down to the GOP offices on Broadway. He's a rhino! So, well, he was campaign manager for Mitch McConnell. That's not that great. Anyway, so let's do this. Scott has been a voice of reason on CNN's coverage of the variety of... of different speeches and things like this. So these are two winners from Scott Jennings, and I don't know why someone from CNN has not put rat poison in his coffee yet. But let's go to Scott Jennings.
Or changed his key card, maybe a little less of a violent action.
Hanging out with the crew at CNN at the DNC. Hit it.
But they're also really trying to hang that giant book, Project 2025, around Donald Trump's neck. And they have a captive audience for it.
Yeah, and an audience willing to buy a bunch of lies. I mean, Donald Trump has disowned this. He has no part of it. He has his own agenda. Throughout all the speeches, there were attacks on Donald Trump that are not rooted in reality. But this, you know, this convention wants to hear it. What was amazing to me about the whole night, and particularly Joe Biden's speech, is just what a fabricated reality he lives in, and what a fabricated reality they want their base to live in, because the reality is this is not Trump's agenda. They come out with this massive, cartoonish, oversized prop, but the whole point is to make a whole crowd of people believe something that's not true.
We so had it on you, video last that, week. I guess it's we fine. Had the hidden camera footage last week. Russ Vogt, the former OMB director, talked about as being a future White House chief of staff for Donald Trump, saying on camera, well, Donald Trump is disavowing it for political reasons. I mean,
so by your logic, every single thing that Kamala Harris said when she ran for president in 2019, ban fracking, defund the police, the most permissive immigration structure, she cannot be permitted to disown any of that. Do we agree?
No. I can answer.
This is your role. Yeah, absolutely.
It's not that. It's not from 2019. It's from this year. They released
the argument. The argument, Ashley, is that these people that Donald Trump may or may not know, who he's disowned and disavowed, made a book, and he has to abide by all that. But now we're saying Kamala Harris can just get rid of everything she ever said or voted on.
I mean,
amen.
Now, again, RNC and Republicans, find sound bites of Scott Jennings on CNN telling you, saying exactly weird things like this. So he's... Wait, there's more Scott Jennings I want to get to. So let's get to the next one here. This one's a shorty but a goodie. Matthew.
In all these speeches, as good as they were, is that she's in the White House right now. Democrats have controlled the White House for 12 of the last 16 years. And for all of the talk about division and the problems in the country and people are hurting, Democrats have mostly controlled this country. Trump had it for four. The Obamas and Biden had it for the rest of the time. And somehow, it's still all Trump's fault, and somehow she hasn't been at the center of it. So to me, that's still the glaring hole in this campaign that hasn't yet been solved at the convention. How do you explain all of the problems that will be solved by the person who is currently in there for the last 3.5 years who is supposed to already be working on solving it? But
I mean,
he's not wrong.
It's all there, dude.
Every press release has said the Biden-Harris administration, every press release out of these guys for the last 3.5 years.
Yep.
You're part of it. Your fingerprints are on it.
That's, again, gaslight. Gaslight. They're selling a reality that doesn't exist.
Of course, she also...
It's not even a lie.
She also agreed to run it's in support of a guy she called a racist and a rapist.
Right.
Right. But right. Well, setting that aside for just a moment. Because, you know, that was 4 years ago.
Remember, the same person who told you she would never take the vax because Donald Trump was president, right? But then once they won the presidency, she was pumping that horrible vax in every... she was all part of that. You ain't doing it. You're going to make life miserable. Supported the winter of death. Remember, you're going to be killing your relatives and all that other jazz. So it's not just... It's just not lying, right? It is a reestablishment of reality.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
That is, it's true. Let's do a little Schlichter here about the average person here and the Democrat Party. I like this opening line. My bingo card did not have the Democrat governor of Kentucky going to the DNC and suggesting that somebody rape someone in J.D. Vance's family, but maybe I should have. It's the ugly reality we have to accept. The elite of the Democrat Party hates the average person. That sounds harsh.
Is it a sitting governor?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
These comments are not just mistakes or slips of the tongue. There are too many threats, death wishes, and if they are mistakes, why do they always go in the same direction? And why are they always greeted with wild applause? It's tough to accept, but we need to listen to Democrats. We need to believe them when they tell us they want us gone. It's not just a few nuts talking trash. It's the elite. This is policy. It starts at the top, or what the top was until Nancy Pelosi deposed the top.
Yes.
Demented old pervert. Joe Biden, right up to his valedictory shout fest, saying one thing and one thing only, that we normal, patriotic, conservative Americans are evil, racist monsters who must be disenfranchised. Remember he said, come take a run at us. We got F-16s or whatever,
right.
He said.
Right.
You can't just laugh it off as colorful rhetoric. It's not.
It's a rhetorical flourish, as was that Sotomayor
yes.
referred to?
I forgot.
It's a rhetorical flourish. So it takes the stink off of it.
If that means locking up your political opponents, stifling free speech, and cheating in elections, fine. Those normal patriotic American citizens are really bad, so whatever the left does is okay. And they want to do it. Biden continually goes on about sending F-16s to bomb American citizens for owning AR-15s. You can tell it excites him. Every time he starts going off on that tangent, Dr. Jill has to check on him after 4 hours in case she needs to bring him the real doctor. If you're watching the DNC, you're seeing a lot of this stuff now. Sometimes it's about sympathizing with people who literally want to murder every single Jew on the planet. In his 3 a.m. speech, our alleged president pretty much assured us that Hamas lovers are very fine people. I love how they bumped him and moved him to the 11 o'clock hour.
Yeah, we're just you're speaking technically tomorrow, you know. Yeah, it's okay, sir. You can go to Legoland in California as soon as you're done with this.
You know, and so let's take it to locally, right? So what happens is when there's a press story or a press release about the city doing something, right? In the last so many years, it's always about they got a federal grant to do something.
Okay? Yes.
Now, it could be to do some infrastructure work. A lot of times, like, again, the 22nd Street Bridge was never enough money to actually do the bridge, right? But they did a press conference anyway. Right. It's about like a state senator saying she did everything for Marana because she brought $10 million of a $120 million project for Cortero and I-10. Got a little way to go. Okay. Or especially during COVID, you had that federal money that was for, you know, either paying rent, job training, $3 million for old Tucson, right? There are all these little things that affect very small amounts of the population. So when you say, well, how many people are struggling with making their rent in the city of Tucson right now? What is that number? And then they do their little federal grant, and then it sounds big, but then by the time you divided by average rents over so many months, you helped 43 people. Right? Because we're giving the fish out. We're not teaching the fishing. And that fish is expensive. But so that's what they say out of their mouths, right? Lane Santa Cruz tells you, budget de la gente. This is yours, right? But she doesn't care if you're getting gutted, shot, robbed, right? Now, the budget may be, she may be listening to you with the budget de la gente, but it's not the city de la gente, right? She couldn't care about that part. She couldn't care about businesses being robbed in Ward 1 left and right. What about that? Remember the beloved lady? She was like the homeless lady that walked around Ward 1. Even Timmy did a story about her. And she just gets murdered on the streets of Tucson, right? Where's the safety de la gente, Lay Santa Cruz? She got gutted in your ward. Right? So the gente in Tucson, the average person is a prop. They're just a prop for the Romeros and the Grijalvas and the Conovers. I mean, what is the, and then again, in the end, the media just exacerbates and covers. But the average Jane and Joe in this town are props. The city council people hide like you would never believe. They're constantly hiding. They would never go into these bad areas. I mean, and then the people that are on the streets right now that are whacked out of their minds on drugs, they don't even want to get those people help. Right? All they want to do is put them into apartments, old hotels that they buy with more federal money, and not get anyone any help. And if you think doing that has reduced the amount of people that are whacked out of their minds running around and wreaking havoc in Tucson, I would argue that it's grown since they've done all this. And when that Channel 12 in Phoenix station did the story that Gospel Rescue Mission, which has some of the best results in helping people turn their lives around, is going down with empty beds every night, and then we find out basically the city of Tucson won't send people who need help there because of the word Jesus and the demand for sobriety. They're not there to help anybody. So think about this. If you're the city council of Tucson, what have you done? You hide. You have these dopey meetings. You keep telling each other you're doing a great job while the city just falls into a hole. Everything is Donald Trump's fault. And you gave yourselves killer raises. They're going to be making just shy of $100,000. They're going to make over four times the median income of a city of Tucson citizen by running it into the ground. Do you think they listen to you guys? You know, Schweiker was talking about stop talking about yourself and talk about what these people need. When has Rahina Romero heard anything that the regular person on the street wants? Because they're screaming in the streets.
Sure.
So look, just follow her social media of where she takes pictures of herself. She's never in the hot zones. She's not visiting the business on First and Fort Lowell. Wouldn't be caught dead. I can't even find her in a business on the South Side. I mean, she is the Rahina, man. She is the queen. That is her attitude. And you people, all of you people out there, are stepping stones to Congress. Why do you think she was, they put her up on the, talking at the DNC, which she could barely read or teleprompter anyway. All right, well, we come back. Friend of the show, Peter, sent us a link to the letters to the editor of the New Yorker magazine. And I'm going to read the letter to you, and then I'm going to tell you the author of the letter. And it is magical. And by magical, I mean super magical. It's one of those voices, one of those names of the recent past. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice. Hello there. Hi, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. Brought to you by the soulful tunes of Mr. Edward Van Halen.
And the wordscapes of Christopher DeSimone.
Ah, wordscapes. So I want to thank our friend Peter for sending me this. This is one of those things that I never knew would exist if Peter didn't send it to me. Very rarely do I read the New Yorker magazine. I know Elaine had a little problem with the New Yorker cartoons and Seinfeld. But let me get to the letter to the editor. As a person who's incarcerated in the Pima County Jail... Why are you laughing over there? I find it affirming to read Sarah Stillman's article about the replacement of in-person visits with video calls. I'm writing this letter from, quote, the hole. Isolated in a cell with no view of the outside world. For people in my situation, communicating with our family and friends is all we have. Remote visits are not suitable alternative to face-to-face connection. Stillman, that's the author, describes the technical difficulties. She could have mentioned how hard it is for loved ones to get verified by Global Tellink to use the services in the first place. Although some users do get verified quickly, others sit in limbo. Trying to get verified is very frustrating. Sometimes you can't even place a call and the static's so bad no one can hear you. Or you end up staring at a gray screen, the video feed not working on your end. I didn't have the heart to tell my mother the last time we had a so-called video visit that I couldn't see her on my screen while she paid 25 cents a minute to see me. In 2022, our jail had the highest per capita death rate than Rikers Island. Given that in-person visits have shown to markedly reduce inmate violence, it's essential that our jails support the ability of incarcerated individuals to maintain family bonds. Sincerely, Zobella Brazil Vinick.
No.
Tucson, Arizona.
Dang way.
Yes, the Tucson High rapist is reading the New Yorker magazine. Is that in the... Was she reading this in the jail? This is from June 10th, 2024. I thought she was out of jail.
Dear Lord. Or well, jail is less than a year. Prison is more than a year.
So that's what I'm saying. Is she like almost... Bullcrap. I thought she was already out. I thought she did time served.
I think she was sentenced to uno año.
Gotcha. So nothing better than the Tucson High rapist is reading the New Yorker magazine in Chris Nanos's jail? Is that what I'm hearing?
And able
to write a letter to the editor?
Breaking the family bonds for a few months before she's let out on early release, I'm sure.
I mean, she raped a high school girl for up to 6 months. And her dad got to work on the Conover campaign.
God, my brain hurts.
Chris versus the Bishop of Tucson coming up next. Bring up the excommunication or the Spanish Inquisition coming up soon. We're gonna play it.
Uh-oh. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.